Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Revolution Radio Network. This is the IDAVOX Report.
Hey, everybody, how y'all doing? This is Daryl Lamont Jenkins here for the IDAVOX Report. And hello, Brian. How's life treating you?
We got the storm up here today that you guys got yesterday, and it just left us an hour. Yeah, it just left us about an hour ago. But I shoveled during the day, and we're more or less dug out already. So just relaxing day. Hold up in the cabin by the fire, getting ready for the IDAVOX Report, man.
Yeah, I couldn't even go to the office today because everything's a mess back in New Brunswick. So I'm home, and I had to basically shovel more or less the Star Wars Death Star trench to get out. So yeah, I mean, we was talking about 15, 18 inches and all that. I mean, I said on Facebook, it says, you know you're in trouble when you have your friends in Cleveland calling you just to laugh at you. And I'm like, I just told her I love her, and she knows what that means when I tell her I love her. But anyway, enough of our problems here. Everybody's been sick of the weather, sick of the snow up here in the Northeast. So let's just go on to the show, which we're not going to be sick of, because this is number one, our first full show, and this is our regular time here on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. EST, and we're going to be doing this regularly now. Everybody's always been asking me to do a podcast, and it's happened. Finally happened, and we're just going to keep rocking and rolling for as long as y'all have us. And speaking of rocking and rolling, I hope y'all like the music that you hear when we start off this show. What a powerful song. I love this song. It's called Stand Up and Fight, and it's by a band called Midnight Transit. And Midnight Transit is led by a brother named Dylan Chambers. Now, if you're familiar with that last name, you might be familiar with the Chamber Brothers. Well, Dylan is the son of Lester Chambers, and they're with us today. They're with us today, and they're going to be talking about how they're seeing life these days, how things are going musically and socially. Before we bring them on, I want to play the full song. We want to play the full song, the video, Stand Up and Fight, so everybody can just hear it and take it all in. Y'all going to love this video.
Let's make sure you can hear. Can you hear it on that end?
I don't hear anything right now.
It's coming.
Okay, hold on. There we go.
We must fight. Fight.
Okay, so what I'm going to do to keep the echo from is mute myself.
Pushed back for too long. We have been held back for too long. We have been told no. Now is the time for us to stand up.
Stand up.
Now is the time for us to dance. Now is the time for us to unite. Now is the time for us to make a stand.
You got to stand up.
said don't move!
All right.
Wow. all right. We just want to make sure the echoes go. Let's bring everybody in. Let's bring Christian Perez in. Let's bring Les and Dylan Chambers in. How y'all doing today?
Fantastic, brother.
Doing fantastic. Hey. Thank you.
Good.
Doing great.
Hey. Man. I mean, I love the song, man. I love the song, but I really love that video. I really love that video. We were talking just before we came on about how people might want to use it for educational purposes in their schools and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So a close friend of mine who's worked with the Sonoma County School District for a long while wants to have this video used as part of like a virtual tour or part of the curriculum for middle school all the way into high school students because of what is being told and what's happening within the story and the video. There's so much going on, so much like, you know, to like unravel, to unpack. And he's just blown away by it and wants to try to petition it to the Sonoma County School District for, which is, you know, in California here where we live in their school district. So.
I'm thinking that there was a I just lost my train of thought for a minute, but you said there was we was having some issues. Do you think that there's going to be any problems concerning do you want to talk about the whole thing with YouTube, or do you want to
You know, as you can see throughout the video, all of the clips are from, you can see the news like insignia in the bottom of the clip. And they are all actually from clips that I got from the news source. But as you look at them on YouTube, they don't have a age discriminatory, like, you know, viewer or any kind of like viewer discretion advice prior to the video. And the fact that they've put that on this video that I'm putting forth with news clips, you know, about what, you know, the police do to our people is kind of telling on their end to try to like cover their bases, you know. So it's unfortunate, but you know we knew, I expected something like that might happen, you know, and you know, I'm surprised that it didn't take it only was what 3 days before they did it, right? 2 days before they did it.
Yeah. And my thoughts were that it was because the news had never been seen in order, in rhythm, with music, and long enough viewing time to get attention for people to really sit and look at this and say, oh my God, this stuff is really happening. And all of these are really actual news clips that came from major news reporters.
Yeah, it's usually whenever I notice that, when it's put in your face when you don't expect it. And whenever you're listening to music, whenever you're listening to something that's driving you, something that's making you feel good or whatever, and then it comes down, then people are noticing. And yeah. And that's pretty much been the legacy of the Chambers family.
Yes. yeah, we bring it to you.
Yes, indeed. I mean, I want to ask basically, let me first ask you, Lessa, because we yes. should basically talk about that legacy. You know, I mean, the Chambers Brothers is responsible for a sound that was basically taken, that's basically been inspiring a lot of bands since. I mean, a lot of people, I always say this, is that like before there was Sly and the Family Stone or even Parliament Funkadelic, there was Chambers Brothers.
Correct.
Correct. But you added something else. You added that. You added that quote unquote social commentary. You added that that whole thing where people should start taking notice to what's going on around you. I mean, well, y'all were among the first to be out there with that.
We felt that that was a very important thing to do, is to bring the news to the people. What's going, this is really going on, you know, like time has come today. People get ready. Are you ready? All these records had great messages for people to take in, and they had lyrics that were not offensive. In no way were they ever offensive. They were always in rhythm. And mm-hmm. we should have learned from that. James Brown was good at it too, singing yes. a gospel rhythm, singing gospel rhythms and great lyrics to people. And people just didn't get the message. All they got was the rhythm, you know? So we came out with the psychedelic rhythm and a message with that psychedelic rhythm to where we could communicate to the entire world at one time with a message that some got and some didn't. And some, a lot are getting it right now, boy. Trust mm-hmm. me.
Hey, the fact of the matter is because y'all still came with it, people still, there were people that picked up on it. I definitely did. That was the kind of music that I listened to anyway. But and Dylan, I was gonna say, also, your band is the Midnight Transit.
Yeah.
And you've been around for how long? I saw y'all been around for what?
Quite a minute. Yeah. It feels like it's been forever, but it's probably like, so this you know, concoction of the groups of my dudes have been together for like 5-7 years now, 6 or 7 years. Mm-hmm. And we've been working on like a full length album for quite some time. And, you know, obviously the pandemic has stopped everything from happening. We were going to release one of our other kind of like poppy rock songs prior to Stand Up and Fight. And then when I saw the momentum behind George Floyd, of like people actually paying attention and caring about Black people's lives, I was like, maybe we should use this other song that we've got that's our like actual, like, you know, political song.
Correct.
One of our political songs, we got a couple of, you know, on the album as our first single. And then we went on, and then like, I just, you know, my mind started going in all these different ways, you know, in production wise, of like adding Pops doing like the speech, and then having, you know, the part at the end where it's like me playing the cop and then myself getting in an altercation. And if anybody who's a person of color who's been in any major city, doesn't have, probably not even any major city, but just anywhere where like the cops, you know, are angry or upset and for us, has had that moment and that altercation where it's been like, you know, maybe not to that extent, but to something that's, you know, really like, oh man, your heart's racing. Like, you know, I've had quite a few in my life, you know? So it's like, I could tap into that fear and that energy to get that kind of momentum and that sound happening. And, then I was like, well, you know, it needs to end with like, you know, with while that's happening with a flash of lives that have happened, and I'll admit some of those lives I didn't even, you know their stories, and, you know, and I try to make sure that I know all 47 of those stories so that I can speak out. If anybody asks who's this, I can tell their story and know what happened to them and what the cops did to them. And you know, it's a couple of them, obviously, like Trayvon Martin's in there. He wasn't, you know, a cop victim, but it is still our people of color, you know, these stories that these lost lives. Yeah, exactly. Some guy who's pretending to try to, you know, secure the neighborhood and snuffed out a young life of some young brother, man, who, you know, think about where he could be now, what he could be doing with his life.
It's telling what he could do, what he could have been.
Yeah.
You can will I ask never you? Know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's been so many young people of color taken, their lives have been taken. And some of them had noticeable intentions that brought that kind of attention to them, because they were noted and said, and it was said, let's get rid of this guy. He's going to make a problem. He's going to be a problem. That happened in my life so many times. I'm lucky to be here. I'm blessed to be here because of speaking out like he does.
Yeah.
And I don't want him to ever shut up. I want him to always speak his opinion. I want him to
he's done his share of speaking out.
Yeah.
You know, dad was born in 1940 in Mississippi,
right,
to a family of sharecroppers. And the stories of the KKK coming through, lynching people throughout the neighborhood, of like the atrocities, the inhumane abuse that was done
mentally,
physically, spiritually, every kind of way that you can
imagine,
sexually, to the women, to the young girls, and that you can imagine, to our people. And when people think like, oh, your ancestors, what are you talking about, ancestors? My dad, okay, my grandma, my direct family went through that stuff, because they, you know, we know people don't know, people don't understand what sharecropping is, okay? They lived essentially as indentured servants on property where they didn't make no money. They would get tokens or tablets or a scratch card where they could go to the local store and trade that scratch card in for flour or bacon or fat or lard or whatever corn needed, or whatever you needed to cook with, right? Rice.
And that's how you could get.
You didn't earn money. There was no wealth acquired, okay? Right.
Listen. So, we got one pair of shoes a year, the Chambers family. We got one pair of shoes a year. We got one set of overalls and one flannel shirt and a set of long johns and a jacket, and that was it.
That got passed down and passed down and passed down. We went to go see where their family was from, and like
where is it?
It's Mississippi, Carthage, Mississippi.
Mississippi.
A real tiny little backwater town. And their shack was probably as small as like our living room here.
But
right?
We thought it's still there.
Oh, I mean, you can't walk to it. Like the property's there, but it's so overgrown that you can't actually get to where the shack is actually at. And I mean, going back to visit where they were at 10 years ago, it felt like going back in time, you know, into the like 1950s, because of how the place, people still lived in the area.
I wanted him to see this firsthand.
You know,
he was like, oh my God, Dad. Oh my God.
I mean, I grew up and I've experienced some racist stuff from police and from white people and whatnot in my life. But I mean, to like see where they came from, it's like, and when people think, oh, it's, you guys are living in the past. It's like, no, we're living in reality. No, we're living in today.
You know, back in that day, they came on horses with torches. Maybe one guy had a shotgun to get attention. Okay? And everybody feared that one man with that shotgun and the torches. But my father did not fear nothing.
I never got to meet my grandfather. He passed away before I was alive. But he was born in like 1890s, you know, like
something like that.
We don't know exactly when because the records are sketchy, but my grandfather was born in the 1800s, okay? That's crazy, all right?
And he lived to be 104 years old.
So he was born 30 years after slavery was abolished, my grandfather, right? So like the stuff that he still went through and lived through. And one of the iconic stories that him, my father and all of my uncles and aunts will always tell is how grandpa would spend every night outside with the two hound dogs sleeping in his rocking chair out on the front yard with a loaded double barrel shotgun on his lap, sleeping like this, because on a regular basis, KKK would roll through the neighborhood. And he would look at them and let them know, if y'all want to come in and try to get at my family, you know, I'm going to get two shots off and my dog's going to get at you. What, you know, and if y'all want to challenge that, you know, go for it. And they would just roll down to they would go to the next person down the way who, you know, didn't have the courage that my grandfather had. And
that's important.
You know, it's like,
that's important.
Yes, yes. And I'll never shut up. I'll never stop talking about what needs to happen about our people, man. So,
yeah, imagine an entire community right here.
We went on a ramble, man. Yeah, so.
Christian, you had something.
Yeah, so I just had a question. I mean, Lester, you have this wealth of experience, right? You have lived through history. So I have to ask you then, how important is it for you as an artist to address current events? To address politics, to address injustice?
It's very important because people listen to music. And if music has a great story being told at the same time you're listening to it, not only will people dance, they'll hear that lyric and the understanding becomes easier and more widespread. But when a person just stands up and talk, people have to sit and pay attention. It's easier and more better. People love music. Music will soothe anything, anybody. And it's just so beautiful.
Thank you.
And,
just
and Dylan, you're carrying on that legacy.
Yeah, man. You know, throughout my career and the bands that I've been in and, you know, touring famous bands, you know, younger in my life, in my 20s and whatnot, it was just about like, hey, let's rock and roll and party. And it happens to every, hopefully it at some age to every black person where they get to that point where they, you know, they can't go back anymore to being asleep. And they get to that moment where they're like, you know, I've got to be, I'm radicalized, you know, stuff's got to change. Right. And, unfortunately a lot of black people get like, just, you know, disheartened from the fact of seeing how nothing actually does change. So they just kind of give up and they, you know, go to the wayside and they lose that passion within their heart. And they just realize that they are a second citizen. There's two Americas. Black people are always going to be, you know, the forgotten, you know, I mean, it's not just black people. It's, you know, I mean, it's everybody other than like, you know, wealthy white men, right? And wealthy white people. That's this country, right? Like that's the hierarchy, the caste system of this country is set up in like a certain way. Like wealth topples everything, but it's like white people above everything else. And white people who are the majority of this country need to be woken to like the fact of like, hey, the stuff that has gone on in this country are, you know, egregious and atrocities and beyond the pale and need to atone for it. And I didn't do this. My grandparents didn't do this. Yes, they did. Yes, they did. Okay. Mm-hmm. Every single white person in this country, if your parents or your ancestors go back a couple of generations, have done some messed up stuff. Okay. They might not have admitted to you. They might think that they're all, you know, we're all sunshine and roses, but yes, they did. Okay. Let me tell you, I'm half white, okay? I can talk about this stuff because, you know, let me get you telling you about my Irish grandmother and grandfather, all right?
No,
okay? crazy racist, right?
Oh, all right,
so, you know, black, but when it got to a point, like, it, especially in quarantine, you know, what was all happening and watching George Floyd and then seeing white people, you know, like, oh, I'm it not being a fad for them. And then seeing them get, you know, like, you know, their heads cracked and choked, tased and choked out. And like that old man who got pushed over and is from, you know, protesting the police and his head cracked up, you know, all those things that happen to us on a regular basis. And white people being like, oh, my God, this actually does happen to you guys because it's happening to us now. Yes.
Hey, think about it. We always been talking about how dangerous these folks were. It wasn't until January 6th when they actually stormed Congress, stormed the U.S. Right. Capitol, when Congress realized, oh, this is a problem. Oh, yeah, because now it's happening to you.
I was surprised that they didn't, you know, to be honest with you, I expected them white folks to go crazier than they did. I'm honestly, obviously glad they didn't, because, you know, I don't want anything to happen to anybody. You know, no deaths, no one should be get hurt whatsoever. I don't want police to get hurt. You know, as much as they hurt our people, I don't wish harm on anybody. Okay. But I honestly expected them white folks to go crazier than they did. But the fact is how crazy that they did, and it's like now still kind of like just being like shuffled under the rug, like, we need to work towards you. We need to go past that. It's unity time now. It's like, and you know what's going to happen is a majority of people are going to work towards unity as opposed to like acknowledging what's actually happened.
It's never going to be forgotten.
You know, we're never going to forget it. Our people are never going to forget it.
It's in the minds of too many important people now. What happened? They saw what happened, and all they could do was cringe and say, "Oh my God, I don't believe we're doing this to each other." But we did this to each other. This is what happens when the world is led the wrong way. One man brought this action from all those people. One man.
It's like a festering boil, and Trump was the person who popped that boil, right? Like, America's in a festering boil of all this hatred and negativity and, you know, evil underneath the skin that hasn't been cleaned or healed or worked on or anything like that. And Trump just went and just made that all just pop out and just come out into reality. And I mean, you know,
yeah,
this is the repercussions of it, right? Like, well, and I'm glad white people are seeing this, you know, are seeing what's happened, right?
I had a question about like today's movements, because you clearly, you know, you brought me back actually while you were talking about there about your upbringing. I just reread Frederick Douglass's autobiography, and it's scary to me. You know, he wrote that about a time, you know, pre-Civil War, but to see that we really didn't even develop. So you're talking about 100 years after he wrote that, and still very similar conditions when you were talking about, you know, the distribution of clothing. I mean, that's stuff he wrote about in a book about his enslavement. You know, let me ask you, but today, you know, we have out there, let's just say Black Lives Matter, for instance, but there's a lot of social justice movements out there, but Black Lives Matter instilled something in me as a white person that I need to talk more to white people, that I need to go back to, that I need to stop running into black communities and acting like I got something to say to black communities, that I really, racism exists within my community, and that's where I need to go back. So I think that's kind of something that I took. Do you see good lessons being put out there from today's social movements that you're like, oh good, somebody gets this part of it? I know that we're not all the way there yet, but are you happy to see some of these developments as far as like Black Lives Matter and things like that, or are you just overall
Man. You know, I'll say constantly, and I tell every you know, I'm super thankful of it, you know, because if this isn't being talked about, it's we're just going to get worse, right? It needs to be talked about. I've got so many of our musician in our musical circle, our fans and friends that come to, you know, our shows and stuff, that are like, oh my God, this is mind blowing to me. And they're in their 50s, 60s, 70s, 40s, 30s. And it's like a new concept for them to learn. And it's like, this has been our life, our whole life. We're glad you're getting it now, right? We're so thankful that you're getting it now. Do something with that, right? And I tell every single white person who wants to be an ally, this is a hard truth and a fact. Every single person who is subconsciously or consciously racist will never, ever, ever listen or learn from a black person or a person of color. What we say to them, our life experiences, our knowledge that we share to them, will 99.9% of the time just wash away, right? They have in their mind, they've checked out, they've got some reason to not listen to what we've got to say. For some reason, we're wrong. For some reason, the benefit of the doubt is to the white person, you know, whatever it might be in their mind to do the mental gymnastics that they need to do for not listening to us. And that's, you know, obviously the conscious ones, you know, because someone who's called us the N-word and we're trying to tell them some kind of knowledgeable information. you know, it's way, they're gone, right? But someone who's subconscious with the facts too, that you think that you're trying to spread some knowledge upon, they've checked out. They've checked out.
Gone.
They're gone. They're gone.
Gone.
So white people need to like learn this knowledge from black people and then take that knowledge and spread that to other white people, because those white people who might be able to break out of that subconscious racism, that where they don't realize that they're racist,
there you go,
we'll learn that from other white people. They won't learn it from us.
They won't learn.
They'll hear us and we're angry, we're nasty, we're too loud, we're too excited, we're too, you know, up in your face. We're what, yeah. You know, and I'll get me started, brother man. I'll get all kinds of loud.
Who do you think he is?
You know,
who do he think he is to tell me this?
Yes, right. Like, you know, that, like, the, you know, I don't need to listen. Yeah. What knowledge does he have to tell me? We've seen it firsthand, and I've seen in both aspects of it.
You've seen it and heard it.
And we were around a lot of people being, you know, professional touring musicians, and, you know, he's really, really famous. Well, I'm a tiny bit famous, right? So it's like,
you're going to be famous.
I'm, you know, tiny bit famous. I, you know, but we've seen it. We've learned it. We know it. Yeah. Right. Right. So we know this as experience. So I tell every white ally, like, learn from black folks, and, you know, and just, and cause black people are tired. You do the part to shed that knowledge to other white people, cause you might be able to break them out of their mold to then come listen to us and learn from us. Right.
Well, so. I wanted to point out before I get to a question I had, that when you hear them complain about woke culture, when they say we need to stop, we need to break away from woke culture and all that, you hear that coming from the right. You hear that coming.
Oh, yeah.
I had an argument with Piers Morgan just a couple of months ago. He was complaining about woke culture while promoting a book called Wake Up.
Yeah.
How ironic.
It's hard when you're and white, right? And you have national exposure, and it's difficult. He needs to wake everybody up, or he's offering something new.
Yeah.
Woke culture is...
I was going.
Yeah. Go, sorry.
Woke culture comes from us. Woke culture comes from us. And whenever you hear them complaining about woke culture, they're basically complaining about us being uppity. And that's one of the things that everybody has to remember when you hear them complain. Yeah.
Well, they also want to be openly racist. They're mad that they don't get to be openly racist anymore. That's, I think,
openly racist, openly sexist, openly anti-LGBT, openly anti-everything.
It's white men, and speaking as a white man, we're taught by society. And to be honest, listen, my parents didn't bring me up this way, I don't feel, and everybody has a different upbringing, but white men by our society brought up to be in charge. And if you ain't listening, then you ain't playing your role for the white man. So woke culture takes that, and a loss of privilege feels like oppression. So that's why you see all this anger from just white people that just don't understand. It's hard to be treated like everybody else.
and it's like, you know, like, put yourself in the heart and the soul of a Latin, indigenous, a black person in this country who's lived through generations and generations and generations of oppression, where you know that you can't speak out, that, like, you're unless you're like the 1% of those minorities who get really, really wealthy and really, really famous, you have a space to speak out. But majority of them still even don't, because they know that they're still working Chris Rock. It's like, there's wealthy and there's rich, right? There's wealthy is the people who signs Oprah's checks. Wealthy is the person who signs Shaq's checks and signs, you know, LeBron James checks. Rich is Oprah and LeBron James and Cope and every famous musician or artist or person who is actually wealthy. They're not actually wealthy. Wealthy is the people who are behind the scenes paying them their money. Okay. Exactly. And you still gotta be, once you get to that level, you got the Kaepernick route. If you're like, I want to speak out and lose everything, or like, I'm still going to be the puppet on the strings and I get to speak out about this much stuff, but I'm going to not talk about any of the other atrocities that are happening to our peoples, you know?
Yeah. I mean,
hold up a mirror to society. There's going to be a problem. Anytime you show people for what they are, anytime you expose police, justice system, or, you know, the racist down the street, every time you hold the mirror up to them, there's going to be backlash.
And that brings me to the next thing. I was going to ask before, I mean, like I said, before we came on, we was talking about all the roadblocks that certain social networks have put in front of us whenever we're trying to express that, whenever we're trying to convey these messages. And I mean, we just talked about it earlier with the age restriction thing over on YouTube. And one of the things that I had pointed out is, while people try to myself, I have control of three websites right now. And that was the way it was when we had when the internet started and everything. My and my thing has always been, if someone's telling you no, we should create more outlets for ourselves to say, well, why not? And I'm sure that there are some out there that are begging for us, begging for everyone to pay attention to them and say, hey, use us as an outlet, since other than like Facebook or Twitter or YouTube might not want you to. And I mean, in Midnight Transit, yes, you're on Facebook. Yes, you're on YouTube, but you also have your own website.
Yeah.
Same thing. So the question is, how do we promote ourselves within our own outlets? How do we create, how do we start going in that direction where we start bigging up the people that are going to big up us?
You know, it's hard. It's just a hard question. We have to inspire each other and be inspired. Right. You know, all of our peoples need to, I mean, a perfect example that happened in a small scale is what happened recently with GameStop and AMC stocks going wild, with people who were like, OK, the system's going to screw us. Let's try to see if we can screw the system back. Right. Imagine if that mentality was put forth with every person, with all of us on a regular basis, all the time against the system. We would win, but we're so brainwashed and we're so told no, we're so browbeaten, we're so like disheartened, like day in and day out with like life and like just looking at life and looking at the things around us that are just like horrible, right? Like, I mean, you know, I go to work in San Francisco and just see the homeless people around me, and it makes my heart hurt. You know, like when I do music, but I also work at like a art center in San Francisco, and it's just, it hurts my heart. You know, when you go anywhere and you see like the atrocities that are happening within our country, it just hurts your heart. And that's what the hierarchs want us to do, is to not focus on them, is to focus on, you know, like just making by with ends meet. And if we can unify in multiple ways, that's how we'll win.
Right. And to that point, yes, sir.
We need to learn to work together. Like the song the Chambers Brothers recorded years ago. Not only do we need to work together, we need to do it together.
Indeed. And that's one of the things I was going to ask. I mean, in the future, I mean, what is in the future for Lester and Dylan Chambers? Where are y'all going personally? What's going to be happening with what kind of, any kind of projects coming up? Or are you bigging up anybody? Besides one people's project, of course, but
one people's project, you know, that, you know, that's, you got our heart obviously now, because we got to make sure that we speak out against, you know, the injustices that's happening, man, because, and stop the bigotry, the racism, you know, because, you know, there's no playing nice with Nazis, man. There's no making friends with the KKK. We ain't tolerating intolerance. That's not what we're going to do. We're not going to, you know, build bridges with people who think of us as less than, who want to kill us, who think of us as, you know, not human. Okay. So that is, you know, 100%, brother. One People's Project is all where it's about. Yes, yes.
Thank you. And I really do appreciate it. And we
So Midnight Transit, my band's working on a full length album. We've got our single out, Stand Up and Fight. It's going to be on every single platform, you know, iTunes, all the, conglomerate sites on Friday. And it's on YouTube and Facebook as well to watch the video. Then we're also, me and Dad do a group together called the New Chambers Brothers, where we play with Full Moon Alice, and that's our touring project where we tour around the country. Obviously it's not happening at the moment because, yeah, you know, no one's doing any live music. We do like live streams. So if you go to fullmoonalice.com, you can see live streams from all the different members of our band, from like their home or, you know, like our like live streaming site. And then, you know, oftentimes will be stories and, you know, music for me and Dad together, performing. And then Dad's got his website, lesterchambers.com. And then, you know, he's got some stuff he's working on if you want to.
Well, right now, for the last few years, my other son, Andre, and I have been working on a pre-production. We want, you see, these young people that play music and blues and stuff, they don't go back, and they don't appreciate what the old people taught us, like Jimmy Reed. So I went all the way back to Jimmy Reed, whom is the father of the rhythm and blues today, yesterday, and all the years before. Everybody know the rhythms of Jimmy Reed, but nobody has paid Jimmy Reed his proverbs. Historically, I am bringing all he done to focus, and I've been working on it for 3 years. I have a publicist that's doing research on everything Jimmy Reed did. People don't realize that he made the first harmonica rack out of a clothes hanger, but he never got credit for that. He got a picture of him doing it, but he never got credit for it. And I can see that you didn't know that.
Yeah, I mean,
this is what young musicians, and when they play Jimmy Reed, all they're going to do is go ding, 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 ding. But there is so much more to this man and his music. And once you hear it, you'll know why James Brown, the Beatles, Little Richard, everybody came from Jimmy Reed.
Oh, no. Yeah, I mean, Jimmy Reed's a new name for me, believe it or not. I mean, as much as I try to think of myself as an encyclopedia of music, that name escaped me. It really does.
I'm going to tell you what you do. When we're up there, you check up Jimmy Reed and just listen. Just him and one guitar. Just two people. And they sound like a whole band. They are a whole band. And sometimes you'll hear a lady singing. That's Jimmy Reed's wife. She said,
I can tell you right now, I mean, I think Brian's about to put up some Jimmy Reed. There he goes.
Right.
Is that him early? I mean, because I know he passed away in 76. Yeah, because I just saw that on Wikipedia. Before we go to that, I definitely want to thank y'all for being here. By the way.
Well, we're so proud that you considered us, and we want you to know that we're with you all the way.
Yes, 100%. I appreciate it. And we will talk again.
Definitely. Brother Gerald.
We will certainly talk again.
Because this and, is keeping up with.
So we want to. So before we go, I definitely want to also place. I mean, we play Midnight Transit. We play Stand Up and Fight, but we want to play something from your repertoire as well, sir.
Well, choose your. You have a choice. We had many things, and I don't know what you have.
Chambers Brothers. New Generation. That's a good, that's a good song. Yeah.
Chambers Brothers, New Generation.
Generation? Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Can you find that on YouTube, Brian? And then after that, we'll rock some Jimmy Reed, because I gotta hear him. I gotta hear him, what he
that,
gave us.
That's Pop's back in the day when he was like younger than me, and he had the really crisp, beautiful apple crisp falsetto, and he can sing all the songs like this. And he's like, you know,
I didn't sound like no girl though.
No. Okay, there we go.
You may get the echo on your end, but they don't hear it in the audience.
We're gonna sit there and listen to it for a bit. To tell you, I forgot how nice Brian Keenan was on drums.
Oh, man. That had some punk rock to it. You could hear the punk rock in the background, and that was all the pop, 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 pop. That was a Ramones drum beat in the background for me. Yeah. That was beautiful.
He was one of the first drummers to do a double bass drum. Oh, and wow. He's a brother from Ireland, right? So he would do he would use the double bass drum and get that real like that hardcore like punk rock, you know, like heavy.
I used to be a drummer back in the day, man. I really appreciated that. It was wonderful.
Yes.
I never had a drummer yet. Nobody ever pleased me to sing like Brian did. The greatest drummer I ever sang with, Brian Keenan.
I was going to say, it's just like everybody just had that, well, just dynamite musicians. I mean, you cannot ignore that when you listen.
Yeah.
I mean, I almost just told you to play the whole album.
Check out the New Generation album when you can. It's like the album cover that looks like it's got all this psychedelic artwork going on within it. It's a really, really wild, badass album. And that song is actually like 12 minutes long or 13 minutes long or something like that.
And that's where we are today. We have a new generation of young people like him that are ready to lead the world. We need to let them go, man. We need to release them and give them the power, because these old people are holding us back.
Politicians.
I am on. Anyway, they need their freedom.
Agreed.
They've been educated. To the max, you know, and they're not being allowed to express Their parents put everything they had, they own, into making these kids smart to where they can do what they need to do, and they're not allowed, being allowed to do it. They're mad. They're mad because of this. They're hurt because of this. And they're angry. This is why all of this confusion is going on now, is because the new generation that's been educated to do these things. We wrote these songs 20 years ago.
No, no.
10 years ago?
40, 50 years ago?
So we saw this coming.
His time, I love it. He's always like, 20 years ago. I'm like, Dad, I'm 35 years old. Wait, right. 60 years ago, 50 years ago, 1960?
Right.
1968, man. Right?
Like, but that's what
we're listening to now.
This is, you know, we're thinking like that way back
10 years ago.
Hey, I thank you for giving us to them, to us, though.
Yeah.
Just thank you for... Because, like, I mean, just listen to the new generation right now, or just listen.
Yeah,
yeah.
You forget sometimes.
We wrote so many songs that should have been listened to.
Mm-hmm.
That had so many great messages and great reasons. That it's incredible. We wrote a song about smoking cigarettes 50 years ago, and it's like, stop, generate, you know, stop pollution, stop revolution. The world is in a bad situation. We are the youth of the entire nation, and you're killing us with smoke and your fixations. Stop. Okay, we wrote these songs 50 years ago, and nobody listened to them.
We're gonna start making them listen now, because these songs are still fresh.
They thought we were crazy. They've never been heard. The new generation has never been played on the radio until today when you played it.
Wow! Okay, wow.
That's the first time that song has been on the air.
Was there ever pressure to bubblegum, like to make more pop friendly lyrics? Did anybody ever approach you with that to make lyrics that weren't so threatening to the status quo?
Yes. Yes. And we didn't understand that, because it was fake to us. It was like not real. You know, it was not real. And music meant more to us than the money. As you can see, as you can tell, we were more into what it meant to people hearing what we had to say. We had a statement. We made statements. All our life, we made great statements to people, for the world. And they never got heard. And we never got support from the record label.
Yeah, I remember you had lots of drama concerning all of that. And
we had lots of drama. And we're still having drama because of that with the same record label.
Mm.
They're not being honest with us yet. They're not being faithful with us yet. They're not truly reporting to us the right things, you know. And what can we do? We're only sitting, you know, they say, all they say is, get a lawyer. Get a lawyer. Yeah.
We shouldn't have to.
Right?
They wouldn't be anywhere if it wasn't for your magic, your music, your talents.
Right.
And your words. And and the fact that they can't respect that is what bothers me. And they do it to a lot of artists.
A lot of artists.
And
of all races and all colors get
people
the same treatment when it comes to them.
To all y'all listening right now, if y'all are not familiar with the Chamber Brothers, get familiar with the Chamber Brothers. You will not be disappointed. And definitely check out the Midnight Transit and Dylan Chambers, and And hopefully y'all be back on the road again sometime in this year.
We can't wait.
We can't wait. Hopefully by the end of this year, if, you know, things ain't still crazy. But, you know, I don't know how this country's going to go because, I mean, this country's crazy. So
you got to come to New Jersey. Crazy,
the people crazy running the country.
We played the Stone Pony in 2019.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Hey, that was the last time I was there.
That's not far from here. That's like 20 minutes from my house. So next time you come,
I'll come. It's an hour and a half from mine. Sold out show. We killed it. That was a really fun show. We did a bunch of numbers and had some friends come and join us on stage. And yeah, so we're all over the country, you know.
Hey, I sing. So next time y'all come up, I want to jump on stage now.
All right. We'll hold you to it, okay?
Oh, no doubt. I mean, you can hold on for dear life because I will be there.
Okay.
All right, y'all. We got to cut it because it's like 9 o'clock now. We have done an hour and we got to stay true to it. But I want to thank y'all for being a part of this.
Thank you so much for having us.
Pretty much our very first show. I mean, we've had, you know, the other things, but we are going to be bigging up. We're going to be bigging y'all up for a good long while. Again, we're going to have everybody have your links and everything where people can find you with the video after this. People got to support. Right. People got to remember. Talk about those who forget history are doomed to repeat it. You got a lot of history we got to remember. And because I want people to be doomed to repeat, I want people to know how to love. And y'all, and you definitely showed that. You and the rest of the band definitely showed that.
Love is all we have, man.
So, brothers, thank you for being on the show.
And I want to thank Christian for coming in tonight, and Daryl, and of course Lester and Dylan. This is a lot of fun, man. I really love hanging out, listening to musicians tell stories. Beautiful, inspiring words, inspiring thoughts. For those of you watching tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Right here on the Revolution Radio Network, we return with NJRR Live. We'll be having a panel guest. We'll be highlighting grassroots activism from coast to coast here on Revolution Radio.